Nation, which you can hear today from 11 till 1 o'clock here at 88.5 FM. Community supported KQED Radio San Francisco, where the time is 9 o'clock.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, this is Friday Forum. I'm Angie Cuero. How many people were there at the Peace March in San Francisco last weekend? 50,000? 100,000? 200,000? That same question came up most prominently after the Million Man March on Washington, when charges flew about political agendas and deliberate undercounts. That issue has been a thorn in the side of the counters and the counted long before that, on all sides of the political agenda. This hour on Forum, we're talking about crowd estimates, who's doing the counting, how they're doing it, and whether an accurate count is even possible. That's coming up on Forum right after National Public Radio News.
Support for NPR comes from NTI, working to strengthen global security by addressing threats from nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons. On the web at nti.org.
Good morning and welcome to Friday Forum. I'm Angie Cuero. When a crowd gathers, attention is paid. One person chanting, walking with a sign, well, it's easy to dismiss the one person as a nut. Two people with the same sign and the same chant, for whatever reason, we're a little more inclined to look and to wonder why they're in unison. Three people, you might get the feeling it's an organization. But without a guitar, I won't drag this out to 50 people a day, but you get the idea. When you're demonstrating, numbers count. They count to the demonstrators, and they count to the observers. But even after all these centuries of organized protest, nobody's quite figured out how to get a count everyone can agree on. We learned that with the Million Man March, and we learned it again just last weekend with the San Francisco peace demonstration. We're spending this hour on the methodology, history, and politics of crowd estimates. With us in the studio, Lucy Barber, who's the archivist with the California State Archives in Sacramento and the author of Marching on Washington, The Forging of an American Political Tradition. Good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning to you, Angie.
We also have by phone Dr. Farouk Elbaz, who's the director of the Center for Remote Sensing, Boston University. Hi. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much.
David Brunel is on the line, the public affairs officer for the Office of Capital Protection with the California Highway Patrol. Good morning.
Good morning.
And to round out the panel, we have Gregory Sir, Deputy Chief of the San Francisco Police Department. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
We're going to start things out with Gregory Sir, because, of course, this is the most recent example of counting being a contrast between the one side's view and the other side's view. In San Francisco, what is the purpose of your counting the crowd?
Well, the determining of the size of the crowd often determines how many officers we're going to dedicate to it, and largely it becomes a geographical situation, how much area we need to account for.
And at what point does it start to become relevant which numbers get passed on to the media and distributed as official counts?
When someone asks.
Ah. Is there training within the department? There's someone who's hands-on trained in how to count and oversees the count?
Well, to be perfectly frank with you, what ends up happening is we have finite numbers that are dedicated to certain areas. And for instance, for the one we're speaking of, Civic Center Plaza, holds somewhere between 40 and 45,000 people. So it's really, since our command post oversees Civic Center, it's sort of a density observation, whether or not I'm the person that gives the estimate, in my opinion, whether it's completely full or to what percentage it is full, and then that number tops out somewhere between 40 and 45,000, and anything under that is just less than 100% full.
Okay, let's expand this to another jurisdiction. David Brunel with the Office of Capital Protection. First, I guess we best explain what that program is.
I'm sorry, could you ask that question again?
Sure. The Office of Capital Protection is charged with what?
What we do here at the Capitol, we schedule events, whether they be rallies or demonstrations or even wedding parties for that matter. We do anywhere from 900 to 1,000 events a year on Capitol grounds here. So the potential for conflict, as you might imagine, is quite great. We might have conflicting groups, gun control versus gun rights. So what we do is we employ a permit officer to kind of schedule that. And what the groups do is they send in a permit and they do the estimation. We have the event coordinator actually estimate their own crowd and their date. so we can have kind of like a glorified reservation system to avoid that potential for conflict.
Now, in terms of looking back at a past demonstration, recent past, or a recent gathering, and saying, okay, we thought we'd have X number, instead we had Y number, therefore we need to prepare. So do you perform that count to look back at it?
Yes. Well, we do an extensive kind of an investigation or inquiry to the event coordinator to try and nail down as closely as possible what we're going to have. But in the event that the count is way off, we do maintain like a roster to be able to call in some extra officers to keep the peace.
But when all is said and done, you can't look back at it and say, this gathering of gun supporters is finished and we had 50,000 people.
No, we don't do that. There's too much of a potential for conflict, and so we let the event coordinator do the estimation.
Dr. Farouk Elbaz, how common is this that you hear that an organization recognizes the futility of trying to get an accurate count?
Yes, indeed is a very difficult situation here, because it is very difficult to make a good estimate. If you are at ground level, you cannot possibly figure out the number of people. As the chief of police said, you only can do that if you have a very specific area, like a square, and you have, from experience, figured that this area would be filled by 50,000 or whatever, 40 to 45, then you can have an estimate that is close as possible to the reality. However, most demonstrations don't occur in just that one little area, and demonstrations in Washington, for instance, occur over a very large area, which is the mall. And you cannot possibly make these estimates, and therefore you will always have the organizers giving a number, and then some official or some press giving another number, and a controversy ensues.
In fact, that's what brought you into this business. It's interesting to read your backstory, where it turns up in the Earth Observation magazine, which is subtitled The Magazine for Geographic, Earth, and Mapping Information. And it takes a stretch of the imagination to get from there to crowd estimates. But you were brought in on the dispute over the Million Man March, when the Nation of Islam really got in there with the Park Service and said, not only you're underestimating us, but there's an agenda going on here.
Yes, the organizers of the Million Man March said that they had over 1.5 million people. And the National Park Service estimated very quickly that there are about 400,000. So this was a huge difference in the numbers. And I heard the story just like everybody else until a colleague of mine called me from Washington and said, I have with me 10 prints from the National Park Service photographs. Would your computers, you do all of this counting of sand dunes in the desert with your methodologies, would your computers be able to handle aerial photographs? I said, sure, let's try. Because I had developed a methodology to count sand dunes in desert areas. Mm-hmm. We've done that for a long time. So I got the photographs, and we started applying the same methodology. And lo and behold, we got a number like 870,000. So it was twice as much as what the National Park Service says, and half as much as what the organizers of the event said. So you really can be off by a great deal.
Let's bring Lucy Barber into the conversation, an archivist with the California State Archives. Her book is called Marching on Washington, The Forging of an American Political Tradition, and it is, in essence, a sweeping view of the history of this kind of protest. Once people got into the idea of organized protest, when did this awareness of how big the demonstration is, the idea that that was a critical element, when did that start creeping in?
I think it really started moving in more and more in the 1930s. Before that, most demonstrations in Washington were judged by how many people came to watch them rather than how many people actually participated. There was a sort of, that was the politics of, I would say, up till 1920 was a politics where you were judged by how many people were interested in seeing you. And then around the 1930s, and then especially you start to see in 1940s, a real emphasis on how many people are you going to bring. And I think that's one of the, just listening to both the officers from the different police forces, is that estimate beforehand is as much a part of this whole dialogue of crowd estimates as the estimate you get afterwards. And whether or not the two match is often also really important to the political credibility of the organizers. And I'm sure they struggle in Sacramento just as they do in Washington with organizers claiming they're going to have 50,000 people and 5,000 people show up. Less likely is when people claim beforehand that 1,000 are going to show up and then 20,000 show up. I mean, I think this weekend in Washington and in San Francisco, people were pleased by how many people did show up. They were probably a little bit higher than they might have expected, but I'm sure the organizers estimated in that same area.
If you look at all the decades of protest, at some point someone got smart and said, these numbers aren't certain, therefore they can be manipulated to an agenda. Are there any deliberate and obvious cases of that historically?
I think that you definitely get it during the 1960s with the Vietnam marches, where you always got huge undercounts from the authorities in Washington and at least high estimates from the organizers. And I think the undercounts in those cases were definitely politically motivated. I'm not so sure with the Million Man March, except for that I know from talking to some of the people with the Capitol Police in Washington that they had been very irritated by the Million Man March organizers from the beginning, so they may not have been on the edge of sympathy.
Dr. Eldaz?
Dr. Eldaz said, the big other challenge besides the fixed square is that the nature of demonstrations now is that people move in and out of them. I mean, living in Washington and also living in Sacramento now, people come, they show up, they're there, they leave, and what my sense is from what, and he can confirm this, is that what the methodology tends to be is, well, let's pick the point when the crowd was the densest at the place we've picked and then try to extrapolate. But I know on Saturday in Washington, it was freezing cold. And so everyone was moving on and off the mall in order to get warm. So whether you could ever take a picture and say, this is the size of the crowd, you can't do it.
Yeah, that's the element that contributes to what you were saying, Dr. Eldaz, is that people are not going to hold still. All right, everybody hang on. We're going to bring a helicopter overhead. Just hold absolutely still for 10 minutes.
That's true. Can I comment on that one? Because
please.
I actually spoke to both the organizers of the Million Man March and the National Park Police on how they did their counting. And the people from the organizers said that they had, at all intersections of streets, people standing there and actually counting heads as people walked through. Yeah, but if you do that, then somebody can go into the mall and then go out to the restroom and come back, or go out from this area to have a sandwich and come back, and so you can actually count people two or three times. So that it is not easy to do that. And when you say I will count a crowd, you actually must say I will count a crowd at the peak time of such and such hour, and that at that hour there were that many people. And in addition, I actually want to make another point here that it is not all the political protests, but that sometimes it is safety of people. I remember being called by the police chief of a city in California, who told me that there will be a grouping on the Cinco de Mayo, and he wanted to see whether we can count the people or not. And he told me that the year before, the organizers of Cinco de Mayo said that there were 100,000 people that came, and the police chief said we estimated that were at least 400,000. And the police, local police, actually charges the people of that group per head. So they said we were paid for one-fourth of what we did, because for every grouping of people we have to have police cars and the ambulances and all of this for public protection. So the numbers don't have to be necessarily only for political pressure, but also for safety of the citizens.
Bearing that in mind, let me go back to David Brunel, who's with the CHP, Office of Capital Protection. This is the part that I'm mystified by. We're going to get to methodology in just a moment, but your office, in essence, doesn't have to worry about that because you're counting on the organizers to do the counting. I guess what mystifies me is it's in your hands to plan for safety and to plan for crowd control, et cetera. And it seems like that's a huge missing element logistically, is how many people did we get and how well did this number of officers work with this many people? How can you manage to plan and then plan again without retrospective counts?
Well, that's very true, and that's the reason why we have a permit officer. We have one officer who's responsible for a very particular interview process. We have a number of questions that we ask, and there's reasons for that. It's, as you mentioned previously, for the group safety. If we've got maybe an older group, and they're going to have a demonstration with several thousand people in summertime, you know how hot it gets in Sacramento. Well, what we do is we make arrangements with the local police department, in this case it would be Sacramento Police Department, to handle buses that come in and, you know, on the city streets. The Sacramento Police Department, we have to coordinate with another agency, as well as if there's going to be several people and they're going to be here for the whole day, they may be coming from great distances. And so they may have lunches, they may have food and drink, they have to make arrangements for maybe a porta potties on the grounds, because the Capitol is a functioning business climate, and there's just so many things. We also have paramedics that are parking ambulance, right?
And this is all stuff you're able to coordinate just on, in essence, trusting the organizers that their numbers will be close to accurate.
Well, yes, we are. We're trusting, but we're also asking a lot of very specific information from them, and we also have a past history, because usually event coordinators, we get to be somewhat familiar with them because they do it on an annual basis. So if we have one permit officer who may be familiar with that person, and if they have a habit of not being completely truthful, we may deny them a permit.
We're going to get down to nuts and bolts of logistics right now. And in fact, if some of you would like to start getting your calls lined up on the other side of that, we'll start taking your calls. So our numbers are 415-863-2476. If you'd like to contribute your questions or comments about crowd estimates, 415-863-2476. If you're listening at kqed.org or you're listening anywhere outside the 415 area code, your toll-free number is 866-SF-FORUM, 866-733-6786. Gregory, sir, this week the police department said, you know, we were dealing with guesstimates and we understand these may not have been entirely accurate in the case of the San Francisco Peace March, so we're going to regroup. Talk to me about what logistics may need to change in the way you've gathered your numbers in the past.
Well, I don't think that the way that field operations has gathered their numbers in the past need to be corrected. What happens is we need to have one speaker or one voice that speaks for the crowd estimate. I was asked by Channel 5, and I was standing at Civic Center when they asked me, and I told them what I just told you. Civic Center holds 40 to 43,000, and I think that the demonstration was as large as any demonstration I've seen in 20-some-odd years, and I would estimate that that would be at least 75,000. So if you basically did the math, I was saying that the crowd was somewhere in the ballpark of 125 or 35,000 in the aggregate. Mm-hmm. Also, I agree with the other members of the forum that you have to understand there's a real ebb and flow to these demonstrations. And then there's also an intersection as the demonstration moves into Civic Center. Civic Center already had a lot of people present that were elderly and families and didn't want to make or couldn't make the march up Market Street. But Market Street was very, very crowded. And as they moved into Civic Center, they displaced some people that were already there. And then some people decided, hey, I'm just going to make the march, and then I'm going to head home. I mean, the major question we answered from the southern end of the square that day was, how do you get to BART? So a lot of people literally made it to the square, and then they believe that they'd made their statement as to this very, very important issue. But I don't think that there's this disparity that everybody seems to think there was. I think the organizers believe that, or stated that they thought there were 150,000 people, and I think that when the police department, when the event commander, who was me, says that there was probably 125 to 130,000, I think we speak to the doctor's margin for error, that I think if I'm off by 10%, we're all really in the same ballpark.
Dr. Elbaz, has this actually engendered any interest in putting together a more accurate counting system across the board, national, federal, state?
Not really. It's only that an attempt was made by the National Park Service by asking me to write a white paper so they could take it to Congress and say, okay, if you really want us to do it right, this is the way to do it. By acquiring, meaning buying a fixed-wing aircraft, buying the proper digital cameras and another high-resolution camera for the archives, and then equipment for the computers to actually place a grid automatically on the place that they see crowds in it, and then come up with a very good number that will be within a few percent. But there was certainly a dollar figure attached to that. It was very close to 20 million when you add the cameras and the aircraft and the training and the people that would do it, the number of people that would have to be assigned to it. But this would be building up the infrastructure to be able to do it for everybody, anywhere, anytime. So Congress looked at that, and they were not about to add that much money to the National Park Service, so they elected just to take the easy road by removing the counting of the crowds from the job description of the National Park Service.
And I understand that the gentleman whose primary job of the National Park Service it was to release those numbers was just hugely relieved.
Yes, because they know that there is always a controversy, and there is no way for him to prove his point, and there is no way for the organizers to prove their point, so there was no methodology that we are very certain about within a few percentage points of the numbers of people that came at a given time in a given place.
Lucy Barber?
Though, of course, they've stopped releasing those numbers to the media. They haven't stopped counting because, as Angie's been emphasizing, there's a value to counting so that you can plan later and understand better how to deal with the crowds. At least this is my understanding. The key switch is the decision to back away from making any releases to the media about the crowd. Because it's not just whether or not it costs money or whether it's accurate, it's also whether it fits people's political agenda. And I think what people decided in the wake of the Million Man March is it's just you can't win. Some people in Congress are going to want those numbers to be big. Other groups are going to want those numbers to be small. And it's easier to, as you say, take the easy way out and not release them to the media. But for security purposes, they're still counting. And indeed, this last weekend, now they had cameras up in order to record the crowd as they were there. I mean, those cameras are going to be permanent security measures, but they were also being used at that point to watch behavior and figure out how to better monitor demonstrations.
And this is essentially a debate without end. I mean, within very recent history, they were still recounting the numbers of people who gathered to hear the I Have a Dream speech.
Oh yeah. I mean, the numbers are regularly exaggerated in my mind. But on the other hand, the numbers were huge for the time. Mm-hmm. So you routinely see estimates that are different than even the organizers made at the time. So
we're talking about the science and the politics of estimating crowds. I want to thank David Brunell for being with us in this first half hour, public affairs officer with the Office of Capital Protection, California Highway Patrol. Thank you, David Brunell. Appreciate that.
Thanks for inviting me.
We also have with us for the remainder of the hour, Lucy Barber here in the studio, author of Marching on Washington, The Forging of an American Political Tradition, Dr. Farouk Elbaz, who's the director of the Center for Remote Sensing at Boston University, and staying with us as well is Gregory Sir, deputy chief of the San Francisco Police Department. We have your calls on the line, and we'll be getting to those as soon as we take a little break here on Friday Forum. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. I'm Angie Coiro.
I only saw a small blip on the news last night. It was almost a traffic report that there might be some traffic on Market Street. And I thought, well, it's more than a little traffic block. It's a huge political protest.
Lucy Barber, it's about innocence.